Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one teeny tiny but tasty treat? I know that you are. And I know you know that means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike. We're here with my favorite segment, Culinary CPR, which also means you know I've got Chef Luca Paris out back there in the pantry ready to go. You know him. You love him. He runs Luca's Mediterranean Cafe, award-winning best restaurant in all of New Hampshire. If you're in Keene, New Hampshire, you definitely want to check that out. He's dominated the competition on Food Network. You know that. But what you may not know about our humble Chef Luca is that he's an incredibly nice guy, and he does an incredible amount of charity work that I don't think gets enough credit. And since I am going to be fortunate enough to be in Keene, New Hampshire for his upcoming event, you heard that right, folks. You can get online right now, call Luca's, get your reservations, get your tickets, wake the kids, phone the neighbors for this event. You don't want to miss Top Chef Keene, New Hampshire style. So, Chef, welcome to the program, and tell us about this tasty, tantalizing competition.
Mike, as usual, I still don't know who you're talking about when you introduce me, buddy. So,
it's you, my man, it's you.
It's great to be on with you, man. You know what we do have? We call this Culinary Journeys. It's a scholarship. It started as a scholarship fund about 2003, where I started creating scholarships to give back. I mean, I've already had a great career up until that point. I opened up a restaurant here in Keene in 2000. I saw it was a great place to do this for and with. So I started giving out scholarships in 2003 to culinary arts students going into, you know, that continuing education. We have a local program here called the Cheshire Career Center, which is attached to the high school, and high school students from three different high schools in the area go to it, and they could do everything from computers to you name it, everything. And one of them is a culinary course. So I got involved with that.
So, Chef, tell folks, you know, kind of how that goes a little bit for folks who may not understand it, or for folks and even some of our younger listeners who are really interested in food and maybe doing some food in their high school. How do they get, graduate or become a chef like you did? And obviously you're helping folks along the way with these scholarships. So maybe if you could walk them through, and then tell us all kind of where, at what level the scholarships and this great work that you've been doing helps them out.
So I think if you get into high school and you find out that you love to do this at some point, you love to cook or whatever, there's two important things you do. First of all, find out if your school has something like the Career Center here and has a culinary program. If they do, however many years you're able to be part of that, be part of it, because it's going to allow you to do two things. And I'll get to that in a second, but the other thing that you want to do, and what's great about our career, unlike going to be a cardiologist first for you, Doc, is you can't go and get a job, you know, assisting another cardiologist as a teenager, because this is what you want to do for a living. You can't just say, "Hey, can I sweep up behind you while you're while you're performing open heart surgery?"
Let me put that stent in.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't have that opportunity. But what I say to everybody is, if you love this, or you think you love what you think you have this passion to be in a restaurant business, which is different than a passion for cooking. On so many levels. But I say to them, one, if there's a culinary program at the school, jump in there. And ours, that is run by Chef Scott Rogers, is phenomenal for that. And the other one is to make sure you then also get a job in the field, because you're going to see if you really want to do this for a living. Now, someone like me, my first job was really in a restaurant. I didn't have the culinary program at the school when I went to school. But the one thing I remember is, as soon as I did it, I knew I wanted to do this the rest of my life. So what's great about the culinary programs at the school is that I'll go in the first day of class, and I'll step in and I'll say, "Hey, guys, how many of you think you want to do this the rest of your career, your life?" And, you'll have like four or five hands up. And I'll go back near the end of the program when I do my chef events there, I'll say the same question. Now, depending on the year, some years we had less hands go up and even different hands that even went up the first time.
Wow.
Or some years I have more hands go up. So what this is doing, all these programs in the career centers across the country are allowing students to see what it's going to be like in real-world application, not wait to get to college, not wait to do something else. So whether, again, computers, carpentry, hair design, numerous amounts of things. But for me, my love was this culinary center that they do there. And I got involved to give out, you know, initially was $1,000 out of the restaurant a year, and then we kind of built that up. And just 2 years ago, we created what's called Culinary Journeys. It's a 501c3. I have a full group that work with me now. And our mission statement.
Good God, aren't you professional, Mr. 501c3?
Well,
I'm going to have you do my taxes next year.
I have no idea what that means. I found smarter people than me to work with. They said, Luco, how come we're not incorporated? I go, I have no idea how you do that. I just know how to give money away. So here I am, and we're sitting there, and we create Culinary Journeys. Now, Culinary Journeys is not just to give out scholarships. Although, last year I gave out $5,000 in scholarships after our second year of being a full 501c3. This year we're planning on doubling that. That's a big part, but we're also, our mission statement is to help students along on their own culinary journeys in this profession. So we're going to do anything from helping out the program at the school to maybe getting new knives for the students or doing numerous things. Now, the cool thing about getting into culinary arts, I always say, I'm going to tell my kids to go to college, that you know that. I'm going to say, hey, you should go to college because of this, this, and this. But the cool thing is if you get a two-year, go through 2 years of this program and work somewhere, you're already ready to start in the industry depending on your level of investment in yourself. There are people that can't afford to go to school right now. And culinary right. schools have gotten so expensive. And that's where, you know, what we've been giving out has been a drop in the bucket compared to what it's going to cost to go to school. So we're helping a little bit, but I'm finding that students are coming out of there and working in restaurants and then turning around and becoming, you know, I've watched this program grow for the last 17 years. And I have students that come back that never went to college or culinary school who apprenticed different parts of the country. And they're coming back saying, hey, listen, I run this kitchen now, or I run this kitchen. And I think it's amazing. So
I think you hit on something that's kind of really cool. And maybe, you know, it may be one reason, I like to think anyway, that there's been such attention, you know, in the media and all over paid to chefs and food in general. But that, you know, cooking, you know, culinary work today, it's sort of one of the few remaining meritocracies left. I mean, you know, you hit on a great point, and I know some people sometimes get frustrated or they feel intimidated because it's like, I don't have the money or I don't have the time to, you know, get a culinary degree. But you and I both know nobody cares if you have a degree or not in the kitchen. It's about what you do. It's about the food you make. And, you know, this is an opportunity, as you said, to have an alternative pathway, you know, to work hard, to apprentice, to learn. And like any artist, you know, apply your skills. You know, you don't have to go to art school to be a great painter. You don't have to go to culinary school to be a great chef. Right. I
always look at it this way. It's the desire of the individual and their intent on what they plan on doing that is going to make them great at what they do. Yes, the education helps. Yes, there's a certain amount of networking done at schools. Yes, there are, you know, points where you could go out and meet different people or get sent to a different location. That's important. However, none of that matters if you don't go in with the right interest level and the excitement to do this. Now, that's where I say a culinary program like the one that we have here at the high school is so important, because there are a lot of kids that I remember when I went to school. I went to Johnson & Wales. I remember within the first trimester, a dozen people dropped out because they go, I can't imagine it was this difficult to do. And I went, are you kidding me right now? You didn't do this before you came to school?
And I'll share with you, you know, I work, I'm a faculty at the culinary program at the University of Montana through Missoula College, which is a great one, folks. Chef Tom does a great job. Check it out if you're interested. If it's someplace you'd want to come, Missoula is a great food culture. But the attrition rate for exactly the reasons you said is 50% in the first year.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's almost scary that you go in there knowing you're going to spend this kind of money and then go, I didn't want to really do this. Ha, that drives me crazy. So I'd rather see the kids go through it now. And that's why I'm a big supporter of the – now, you know, with cutbacks at schools all the time, one of the things that get cut back first are going to be programs like this. And they're so important, whether people can't afford to go or want to just do that and move on. Our program or our, you know, culinary journeys is going to be a big part of making sure that sticks around for the long term. So we're really excited about it. We're doing an event on November 16th. So I run two events every year. I kind of mimic it after doing those competition shows, even though we've talked many times about, you know, I'm a one and done guy with competition shows because they're fun for the first time. And then I keep seeing them. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to want to do that again, but people love to see it. People love to, you know, when you create an organization like mine.
Hey, folks, you're so humble, Luca. I got to remind folks here, you're also one and done, a retired champion on Guy's Grocery Games. And you beat out, you know, three other chefs. I always look for that repeat. In fact, you got to call Fieri, and tell him, you know, he needs to run your program, you know, more. He's got like endless runs on, like, one day it's nothing but Guy's Grocery Games on Food Network.
Oh my gosh.
And and I keep looking for your show so, you know, I can watch it again because I loved it.
Someone came into the restaurant recently and said they saw it, and I'm just like, really? I didn't even know it was on anymore because he has so many episodes now. It's so lost in that, but I kind of played off of that when I won that year to start creating a fun competition with local chefs so I could get to host. We would have judges, yada, 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 the whole thing. You know, it's a chopped meats, Iron Chef kind of competition because we actually create what's called a culinary arena where in the kitchen at the high school, we put the three chefs and let them compete. And then they come out and get judged, and we have an audience of about 80 people. These are local, you know, friends to the program and then people who like to watch that happen. And then these are young local chefs working their way up. Well, we've done that for about 4 or 5 years. Last year, we started an event in November called Battle of the Badges, where we had fire and police officers going at it. And this year,
Who won?
Huh? Oh, the fire department won. The fire department.
Yeah, I was gonna put my money on the fire department.
Yeah, I don't know. And only by very little. Very little.
Wow.
And then this year we decided to continue that theme. So in April we do a full true chef event. In November we do a community event and we pit two parts of the community against each other. And this year it's doctors versus nurses over here at the Cheshire Medical Center, part of Dartmouth Hitchcock, a big teaching university teaching school in New Hampshire. So it's really exciting. So I have doctors and nurses battling it out to see who reigns supreme in the kitchen. And you, and this is the exciting part, are actually going to be our guest judge, our national guest judge. And it's the first time we have a national guest judge. And it's pretty exciting to have you on. I kind of asked you on my show not too long ago, who are you going to, you know, who do you lean towards? Because you are a doctor.
Right.
I kind of think, you know, the nurses are what make you happy in the hospital. Or they can make your life miserable. Let's put it this way.
Exactly. You know, they're like your work wife.
Yeah.
You know, they can make your life in the hospital, total bliss or total hell, you know, just depending on how they feel. And you have no control or say over it. Right. That being said, I want to assure the folks that are listening, especially, you know, the fake folks over at the medical center, that I will come in unbiased, you know, and true to my taste buds, because you know me, and that's just the way I am. So we're gonna definitely hold everyone to task. Is it a surprise for them, or can we, you know, give some teasers about what we might see or what kind of competitions and the format is a little bit?
So the format is a 1 hour, it's three against three, three doctors, three nurses that compete against each other. They go into the kitchen. We do have a blind basket for them. We'll have six or seven ingredients that they have to incorporate in their three presentations. So the way it works is they have, so since it's a continuous event, we don't have the TV availability of saying cut, now we go back, reset.
Right.
We're making this a continuous event, and it's worked in the last six times we've done this for all the shows we do. But they'll see what their basket is. They're then going to be required that they have to complete three tasks within an hour. Within the first 20 minutes, they have to complete their appetizer round and then present it to the judges and still continue to cook while they present. That's why they have a team. So they're then within the next 20 minutes after that, which gets us to 40 minutes, they are then, or 25 minutes, they need to present their entree. And again, things continue. There's no stop in the clock or anything. Even though when they come out and present, then one of the members of the team come out and present the entree. They get judged on that. They go back in. Then they complete their dessert round. And then within 1 hour, they have had to complete all three rounds. The judging is taking place at the same time. And there are different events that go on during the night outside. Plus the guests, we have live video on a screen if people don't want to go into the kitchen area to see them, but you have this kitchen arena area where you could go in and see it too. Well, and then we have cocktails and hors d'oeuvres being passed around the whole night for the people that are watching. And they're mocktails because we're at the school. It's kind of fun. And some of the students from the program prepare food for the guests that are watching. So it's a real fun, coordinated event. The chefs have a lot to do. You'll have a lot to do. I just hang out and eat. It's kind of fun.
Well, I'm going to be hanging out there with you. And who knows, you know, you and I working hard together, we could probably actually transform those into like real cocktails.
Yeah, that'll be the last time I do an event there, though.
Hey, so where can folks go to get tickets and find out about this?
If you go onto Facebook, that's the best way to do it right now. There'll be an event on there this week. It's called Look for Keen Top Chef Competition, Keen Top Chef Competition. And on that, you'll get to see everything you need to find tickets locally. I mean, we'll see that most people do it locally. They will end up coming to my restaurant or to the high school itself to come buy the tickets. If you want to just contact us through Keen Top Chef Competition on Facebook, we will be happy to get in touch with you about getting tickets any other way you want to go. It's November 16th. It starts at 5:30. The guests arrive at 5:30. The competitors start cooking at 6 o'clock, and it's really important to be there early so you can watch the whole thing come down. And it's a lot of fun, man. I am exhausted by the end of the day because I just go around and talk to them. But I tell you, watching them work is exhausting, and they do such a great job. It's always been a lot of fun.
And that, folks, that's Keene, K-E-E-N-E, New Hampshire, and it's a beautiful place. And this time of year, you know, if you're looking, if you're in Connecticut, if you're in the city and you're looking, hey, maybe we'll do a long weekend getaway, this would be great to come up there, catch the event, hang out, enjoy, you know, the wonderful last bit of the fall, the color, the smells, the sensations. Keene used to host, wasn't it advertised, the whole pumpkin festival, which unfortunately they're not doing anymore, but you may have heard about that in the past. So you guys know how to do fall and do it right up there.
Yeah, and actually Pumpkin Fest is now back with us, and we're celebrating.
Great.
Sunday, October 29th, is Pumpkin Fest Day back here in Keene, and it's mostly for students for young kids that'll come and bring their pumpkins, and we're restarting the whole thing at the event in Keene. We definitely know how to do fall. We got this fall thing down. Yeah.
So if you're in the area, definitely head up there. Come by the event, make a long weekend of it. You're going to have a blast. And all of this is for a really, really good cause. And actually, we've got a little bit of time left. So maybe we could do that poached pears, if maybe you could share that recipe with us. So we'll give folks a little freebie. On some poached pears. Because that's a wonderful fall kind of flavor profile. You and I have talked about, flavor profiles.
Yeah.
And I think this one really incorporates a lot of what really, when I think of fall, I'm in the middle of doing some cooking today as well. And I took a page. I'm doing some French pork rillettes. And just because of the time of year, I actually incorporated a little bit of those fall spices just because they're so warming and they happen to go well with pork, but they go well with pears too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, when we talk about, poached pears could be an appetizer or a dessert, but we're considering it a dessert in this. And a lot of times people are afraid to make desserts, especially like you and I aren't. Well, maybe you're better at it than I am, but I'm not the biggest fan of measuring anything to bake. So I'm never going to do it, really. I need quick desserts. I need something easy. And to me, doing poached pears is one of the simplest things in the world that come out amazing. So it's really simple, let's say, because I'll give you the recipe for it. We'll print it out and send it your way so you can put it in the magazine. But four pears, any variety. I like either the Bosque pear. Well, Bosque pears are one of my favorites there. You could use any type of pear. That's totally up to you. But just make sure they don't even have to be too ripe. Here's the cool thing: because you're cooking them, they're going to soften up.
Right.
But just remember, the riper they are, the quicker they're going to just get softer, and you don't want them to mush up on you. So I take basically, let's say, half bottle of port wine. You could use just straight red wine. I like port wine because it gives already a natural sweetness. So it's about 1.5 cups of that. Little lemon zest, little orange zest. About half a cup of sugar, and then this is where your flavors go in that you want. You could put cloves, cinnamon. I put some star anise sometimes. It all depends on what you're in the mood for. So cinnamon stick, some cloves. That's really all you need. You're going to cook that in a saucepan. You're going to reduce. You're going to start heating them up. Bring the pear. Put the pears in there. I cut them in half, and I pop out the pits. And whenever I can leave the stem on, I never take the skin off, but whenever I can leave the stem on, I do because they kind of look cool. And I'll cut them in half and I'll put them face down first for about 25 minutes, uncovered. I'm going to get it all to a boil, then reduce to a simmer. And then it'll be soft enough where you could, if you use a fork or the tip of a knife, where you could just slide it right in and pull it right out, but it's not falling apart. That's about the time you need. Now, what I do here is I reduce the rest of the wine. Now it starts turning into its own simple syrup, right? Because you have the sugar, you have the wine, you've already had the pear in there. Reduce it not too much because then it becomes a candy, but just enough where it's kind of holds its texture. And that just glazes over the top of the pears when you serve it. I crush up some almond cookies or biscotti, the cantuccini, or anything. I like some crunch in it. So you could just take some of that, put it over the top, make a little simple custard if you want, or whipped cream or ice cream, and that goes a long way. So you have the beautiful pear that's been poached and seasoned. You'll have you'll have some type of creaminess to it, whether it's a whipped cream, custard, and or ice cream. And then crunch is important to me. That's where a little bit of that biscotti over the top that's been crushed, or any type of crushed cookie that you like, kind of thing to go with it. It's so simple. You could do it with apples. You could do it with any type of seasoning you want in there. You could use red wine. You could use white wine. You're just basically creating a wonderful cooked down pear, and it's absolutely incredible.
Well, you make it sound so simple. Boy, when you see it on the plate, it's an elegant presentation. Are there any tricks that you might want to share so you can get them? Do you serve them up? Do you serve them down? How do you like to serve them? Because to me, whenever I do them or I'm out and somebody serves that to me, like you said, I know in the back of my head it's not a complex thing to do. But God, they look so elegant.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. I mean, it is an elegant dish, and it's simple to do. Now, you'll see the picture when you get to see this in the magazine. You'll see the picture of two pair. It was a pair cut in half, both facing up. Because now that allows me to do is, if you wanted to put a little bit of, you know, whipped mascarpone in the center where the seeds were, you could do that also. But the other thing I love doing, and we do that here now because we do a lot of small plates at the restaurant, I do only one half pear, but I slice it, but keep it still intact, and I fan it out, and it has this beautiful fanned out look with the custard underneath, and then you put the glaze over the top. It's just absolutely incredible. It's a beautiful way to present that. So, and it is. It's a, you know what? It's so simple. When someone wants to do it at their home, it's so easy to do. You definitely you want to show off this whole thing and have people come over and do this.
And one thing I want to ask you, because it's something I've done to change the flavor profile a little bit, especially given where you are. Have you used alternative sweeteners, maybe a little maple syrup instead of just sugar? So when somebody's comfortable with the recipe, they can vary it a little bit.
You do. Maple syrup is a great way to season that, as well as fresh, not great, raised honey, but local honey is a great way to do it too.
Great,
and maple
yeah.
sugar, if you could find maple sugar in your area, and if it's some way they do that. So there's plenty of ideas there that you can do. That will be the sweetener without using regular sugar.
Well, that sounds absolutely phenomenal. And folks, make sure you head over to www.chefdrmike.com if you're not on our mailing list, because you're going to get the newsletter that comes out before each of the episodes of Code Delicious. In that newsletter, we alternate some interesting stories, facts, but whenever we're doing culinary CPR, you'll always get Chef Luca's wonderful recipe as well. So you don't want to miss out on that. And until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.